welcome to the CCDA podcast. My name is Teran Rush, and I am the COO of Media and Leadership Project and the Director of Sports Science at Capital High School. I have been working with the CCDA for around 10 years, and now I'm here to host for this episode. CCDA is passionate about leadership development, and for nearly two decades, CCDA Leadership Cohort has been developing leaders around the country. This program has helped participants deepen their faith, grow their leadership, and live more meaningfully in their communities. And applications are currently open for Cohort 9, specifically for Gen Z leaders in the Southeastern U.S. I'm super excited about the new Cohort 9. I think it's going to be really amazing to get the Gen Z group of people that's around the world and to hear their ideas, hear their thoughts, and hear their beliefs about how communities should run. Today, I'm joined by two Cohort alumni, Jeff Biddle and Bethany Rivera Molinar. Thank you for both being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Teran.
Can you please introduce yourself to the listeners?
Yes, Teran. My name is Bethany Rivera Molinar. I am the Executive Director of Ciudad Nueva Community Outreach in El Paso, Texas, and I'm also the Board Chair of CCDA.
And my name is Jeff. I'm the pastor of New Hope Community Church in Charleston, West Virginia.
I appreciate y'all. So I have a couple questions to ask y'all. Just what are cohorts?
So cohorts, as they exist at CCDA, are a group of people who are gathered together to connect with one another, to build relationship, points of collaboration, friendship, and also be guided by leaders with a lot of wisdom in CCD work. They gather in different places, likely online and in person, to help foster connection and relationship and understanding, all with the goal of looking at the long picture of CCDA, building up leaders, identifying leaders to keep carrying the torch of CCDA in the world.
Biddle, what is a cohort to you?
The cohort to me was an opportunity to connect with people around the country who were doing and experiencing things that were in some way similar to what my community was doing and experiencing. And there's this wonderful sort of not crazy feeling. Sometimes when you're doing CCD type work in your own community, what you're doing is unusual to the people around you, not necessarily to the CCD community that's working together, but to the broader community. The approach is unusual. The values are unusual. And the cohort was a chance for people who shared those values and those practices to get together, to support each other, to learn together, to exchange ideas about what we're doing and about what we're learning. Sometimes the connections would be very similar and we'd say, oh, we've already experienced that. Well, we can share something about what we've done. And sometimes it would be a totally new idea. It would be, we never even thought to approach it that way. And so the cohort became a space really for people to come together who really shared values and approach and the way we serve the Lord.
Yes. So those were amazing answers by both of you two. Why are they so important to this world? Why are having cohorts so important?
I only learned later, after somebody introduced me to CCDA, that part of the way CCDA got started was that Coach and John Perkins and some people who were the original founders had been going to conferences and always coming away having discussions saying, well, I understand what they're doing, but it doesn't seem to apply to us. And similarly, I first came to CCDA when somebody in my own community, a friend of mine who is a realtor and an attorney, and he was doing like home renovations, was hearing what I was working on. And he basically said, oh, you got to go to CCDA. You got to go to CCDA. That's where people who are doing what we are doing, that's where they are. You got to go. And I've never heard of it before. What's CCDA? And so much that is important about it is connecting people who have the same values and the same approach, you know, around the country and being able to learn from each other. And I think one of the most important things about the cohort is it's a really in-depth way to do that. When we're in the cohort, we're connected with mentors who are guiding us through the process. We're sharing that journey over 2 years with a set of people that we can come back to for friendship and support. There are specific experiences designed that we can learn from. And it is such an important way to deepen our ability to serve the Lord in the way that we're called to in our communities.
I would agree with that. In addition to that, I think connection with other leaders, like I think what Jeff said, is really important. Sometimes you feel isolated in the work you're doing all across the country, but cohorts help you realize that you're not alone in the work and you're not alone in the seeking to understand what it means to walk with community, not over community, and walk with your neighbors and love your neighbors in a way that feels different in a lot of contexts. And then what I would also say is cohorts are critical for building of the movement forward, of the CCDA movement forward. I feel like oftentimes in spaces, when you look at spaces of leadership across the spectrum, so it's government, in schools, politician, I mean, anything. What I have sensed is there just seems to be a resistance to passing the torch, to equipping the next generation to move forward. It just seems to be that there's a resistance to let go and to trust the next generation to go forward. And so cohorts are a great way to identify leaders and to equip leaders so that we can do that work. As the board chair of CCDA, I feel very passionate about that. CCDA has gone through a lot of different things over the years. It's been around for decades. And I believe like wholeheartedly in the mission of CCDA, in the movement of CCDA. But in order for that to continue, we have to think about ways we can let go and pass on and equip. And so cohorts are a great way to do that. You're connecting the next generation of leaders to know each other, to walk alongside with each other in the work. And then you're also creating space to identify leaders to go into other steps of leadership, even within CCDA.
That was a great answer, Bethany. You hit on walking with community. Can you please share a story about your time in the cohort?
So I was part of CCDA's cohort number 5. We were a loud crowd. We were a cohort at a very pivotal time of history. It's when the BLM movement arose. And a lot of things were happening. And so I remember the second gathering that we had, hearing all the things happening and being able to connect with leaders from across the country, and in particular, leaders of color. I don't think I've ever been part of a larger group of leaders of color in justice, Christian justice work in one room, which was the majority of us, to be able to share like what we're seeing, what's happening, what's been the response, to pray for one another, to pray and focus on those that are closer to the places of hurt, and to share resources was incredible. There's so many stories. There's a time when we had our gathering in Philadelphia, and there was this movement, I guess this awakening and reckoning of some of the ways that even within CCD work, women are excluded from the movement, or not seen as equal or as important or necessary. And there's this movement of like of repentance and tears and grief and prayer with one another. And there have been times in my life where I felt like the Holy Spirit moving very strongly in a space, and that was one of those times. And it wasn't just a place of emotion or guilt, because things happened after that. Like there were movements and shakenings happening within CCDA. And I believe that was part of that movement towards affirming leadership of women in CCDA and centering their leadership. And so anyway, I could go story after story. There's so many stories, but it was definitely a pivotal moment in my leadership journey. It's been critical. I'm still connected with many of the leaders. And many of those leaders are now part of CCDA leadership as well.
Jeff, can you share me a story about your time in a cohort?
Sure. I mean, one small story is just sort of a delightful illustration of how the connections can be. I think our cohort had, which our cohort was cohort 7, and cohort 7 had 4 retreats. And it was either at the second or I think maybe at the third retreat, there was one fella in the cohort who I'm still in touch with. And he was a therapist. And so very in touch with his feelings and very in touch with how to express them. And there was another, there was a woman in the cohort who also, she wasn't a therapist as in practicing sessions, but also, you know, trained in mental health. And it was time to go home, basically. It was like the last night together. And the guy who was the therapist, he started to cry. he didn't want to leave his friends and go back to life from the time that we were having. And he started to cry, "I'm just going to miss you all." And the woman looks at him and said something that was a little bit, a little bit platitude-y, like, "Oh, if you're that sad about it, it just illustrates how wonderful it is." And he looked right back at her in a way that was, it wasn't tearing anybody down. It was funny between therapists. He looks at her and he goes, "You know that's stupid." And he just kept crying. And, you know, between the two of them, it was an exchange that just demonstrated both sort of a depth of understanding, you know, of one another, of how we're trying to use, you know, use our skills. And for them, that was mental health, but also the depth of emotion and connection that came with having these people in a room. Now, our cohort, when we have a gathering together, you know, if it's online or reconnecting or something, a lot of us are still in touch. We will still say something like that, you know, as a form of exchange when we're parting. You know, some of you say, well, you know, you're only sad you're leaving because we love each other. Somebody will say back to him, you know, that's stupid. you know, it's a small thing, but it just comes as an illustration of how deep these connections can be and how lasting they can be.
Man, it seems like both of y'all had a lot of lessons learned and connections made. How are y'all still drawing upon lessons learned and connections made from your cohort?
I am definitely drawing upon lessons learned at the cohort, as well as connections that I've made. As I stated before, still very much connected with a lot of people from our cohort. A lot of our cohort members are actually part of the board of CCDA. I've gone on vacations with some of my cohort members. I've collaborated on projects with some of our cohort members. We've created space of prayer and lifting up when people are hurting or going through crises. Whenever there are times when I'm able to connect somebody else with a resource, but via my cohort members, like, I know this person, this is what they do. I've collaborated on projects. I think I said that with cohort members. It's been something that still happens today. And then lessons, I think some of the biggest lessons is, like, you are called for such a time as this. And I think about a cohort member sitting on my couch when she came to visit El Paso, and I was about to become executive director of Ciudad Nueva, and just feeling very ill-equipped or not the right person. It wasn't a position that I pursued or I saw as my end goal. She sat on my couch and she like quoted Esther to me and was like, this, you know, you are here for a purpose. You're uniquely made for this. And it's not in spite of who you are, Bethany, but because of who you are that God has called you to this moment and to lead in this way. And I can tell you that I have spoken with UT El Paso students. I've spoken in other spaces and I have reflected those same words. I think people of color, us on the border, in a place that can be very politicized and used as a chess piece, where it's a place where we've often seen as a place of deficit. It has been a great passion of mine to help leaders in this space know just exactly like what that cohort member told me on my couch, that it's not in spite of who you are, but it's because of you, who you are, that you're uniquely called and equipped to lead in this space for such a time as this. And so that's just one example. And that is a lesson that I have heard from people in our community when I have shared that, like what an impact that's made on them. And that is that started with that friendship and that relationship with that person sitting on my couch. There's so many ways that my cohort members have spoken into my life, have seen me, and that I've been able to do the same. But our cohort leaders also really, I feel like they really saw us. They tried to see us. Leroy Barber, for example, he leads a whole movement called the Voices Project and has reached out to me and other cohort members to speak in their conferences and to connect, and have really, like, not just given me words that they support and that they see me, but have done it with their actions. So their connections have improved my leadership, have given me space to lead. And also they're the lessons that I've learned and the connections have benefited people in my community as a result.
Jeff, what are some lessons that you learned or some connections that you still have available from your cohort?
So certainly the connections have lasted. I still talk to and visit with people from the cohort. Those are amazing friendships and also important resources when searching for a deeper understanding of what God is doing and what is possible within our community. Actually, the book I published, I co-authored with three other CCDA affiliated folks, one of whom was a member of my cohort, and that connection led to that happening. I came to the cohort really wanting to learn, really thinking that I was coming to learn things that I didn't know about, to be exposed to new things, you know, that sort of thing. And that absolutely happened. What I wasn't expecting was that the cohort clarified an even bigger sense, you know, especially toward the end, of sort of like what Bethany said about what strengths I have that I might be called to use. In particular, we went to Capitol Hill and visited two congresspeople's offices. And one of them was a congressperson from West Virginia, and I took four CCDA friends in with me. And because it was the West Virginia congressperson, they asked me kind of to lead the discussion. And then I sort of passed the discussion off to the other people in the room and then talked a little bit more, and then it was over. And to me, that was a good experience. To me, that also felt mostly like an exercise, more like we were practicing maybe for lobbying down the road. But when I got out, my friends who'd been in there with me, one of them looked at me and said, "That was exhilarating." And another one looked at me and said, "How did you know how to say those things?" And it really, this sounds maybe silly now, but it had not occurred to me that being able to advocate on places like Capitol Hill was in my background and came fairly naturally to me. And I took it for granted. Like, I had not been looking at that as, oh, this is something my community needs from me, or this is something that I need to be helping other people to learn how to do. I just took it for granted as part of my background and had not really thought about it. And so coming away from really just that one experience, so often in the cohort, I was learning from something else. I was taking in something that I hadn't experienced before, but also the ability to really hone what are the things God has already given me and put in me that I really need to sense these are my important contributions to my community. And I came away with a deeper sense of what God has given me to give to others, with a deeper sense of how really we should always be looking around for who God has put in the right place at the right time with the right thing that we need. Sometimes it'll be somebody you were completely not expecting to walk into the picture, but the Lord sent them there. And sometimes it's you. Sometimes you got to look, oh, God put me here for a reason and I need to kick it into gear. That has been such an important lesson from the cohort that I have continued to keep with me in the years that have followed.
Man, if y'all was asking me if I was signing up for this thing, I would think, fun. What are the retreats like? When y'all out there, how are the retreats?
The retreats are a good time of close connection and almost hyperactivity. It's almost like you don't want to go to sleep at night because there's too much to be done and too many people to connect with, and it's just a few days. The retreats will include some discussion of materials a little bit, you know, let's read this or look at this and learn something from it. Curated experiences, times where we're visiting a ministry or purposefully going to meet someone or try something out. And a lot, I think, of personal ministry processing. A lot of time to connect with other people who are in ministry, to take time to listen. And I think to share things that maybe we don't share that often because most people just really wouldn't understand. Not that they don't care, but they don't have a context to understand what we're struggling with and why, or what is exhausting us and why, or what is giving us joy and why. So just a lot of time for making deep connection with people who are going to understand.
That was a really good answer. I would add to that, retreats are what it is you bring to the table, right? I think it takes courage to be vulnerable and also to listen to people. There were times of in our retreats where the joy was abounding and silly, and there's a lot of fun, a lot of laughter. I remember, because we're a little older than I guess this next cohort, but we were in Philadelphia on a long van ride and somebody put on Boys to Men and we all knew the words because we're all like millennials, like old millennials. And so just being able to sing like the End of the Road with people that vibed with it just as much as I did when I was in ninth grade was really super fun. But also, like I said, it's what you bring. Sometimes you come to this retreat, sometimes you will come to the gathering with a lot of grief, a lot of weariness, and my hope for the cohort that is to be is that it's a space where people are able to bring whoever they are to the table for the sake of fellowship and understanding. And then that also that they would be listening, that they'd be listening to their community. So listening to the people around them. It's a place of prayer. It's a place that I left those gatherings feeling more connected to God and more connected to people. And so in conclusion, I think just whatever it is you bring to the table, like bring it to that table, that gathering, and Holy Spirit will move and thread and make something beautiful out of that space.
That's amazing that these cohorts can be such a blessing spiritually and emotionally. Beto, Did you take anything spiritually to bring it back to the community that you pastor in, and anything emotionally that helped you bring it back to connect with your community here in Charleston?
I think one of the biggest and deepest spiritual takeaways was that God is always working, and always working in unexpected ways, always presenting unexpected opportunities. The communities we came from were so different. And Bethany, what cohort were you?
We're five.
You were five. Okay. We were seven. And when you said that about, you know, the emergence of Black Lives Matter and things like that, like we were a little further down the stream when we were in our cohort. And for us, it came to the point where I think half of the people in the cohort left their organizations during the cohort. It was that sort of tumultuous time, like, you know, 2015, 2016, where people were planting their flags in the sand and saying, you know, this organization is going to do this and not that. And, you know, almost taking sides sort of in the social movements that were emerging. And half of us left our organizations during the cohort, including me. I left the church I was at, and we planted New Hope during the cohort. And for so many of us, that felt earth-shattering. Like those experiences often being sort of driven out of an organization that didn't want to go the way of the new social movements, that felt earth-shattering. And yet having one another to process with as that happened and after it happened, as we've seen God grow some amazing things out of what was really a pretty tumultuous time, you know, having that set of people to go through that with, the lesson that what God has in store, no mind has conceived, no ear has heard, no eye has seen what the Lord has in store for those who love him. And even in moments that feel like collapse, God is creating opportunity and new ways of working. I've been able to see much more clearly that things that look like emergencies are not always emergencies. Things that look like a coming apart may really be opportunities. And that if we keep trusting God and we keep working, he is going to grow amazing things from within our community, from the work that is already going.
Amen, amen. That was amazing answers. So leading on, with applications currently open for Cohort 9 with encouragement, do you have for someone who may be interested in applying?
So my encouragement would be twofold. Like the first would be to leaders of people who are thinking about applying for employers in particular, nonprofits, churches. The cohorts are a worthy investment. Oftentimes, these kinds of things are available to people with a lot more means. A lot of times, the people that work in our organizations, hopefully, they look like your community. And if they look like your community, the cost of a cohort may feel like it's not much to you and something you can raise quickly, but it may be something that's really difficult for somebody who has children, who's working and trying to make ends meet the best they can. And so what I would say is if you care about your organization and your church, and you care about the movement of CCDA and you desire to see the year's worth of cultivating and building up for the sake of unfolding the gospel in your community, like you need to be sacrificial as well in figuring out how to support your cohort applicant that is interested. It means a lot. I can tell you my organization paid for my cohort experience and they were very, very tight on money. And it was a struggle. But I believe that a huge part of why I'm where I'm at today in the different aspects of leadership in CCDA is because they chose to make that investment in me. And so my call to the leaders that are listening to this, invest in your leaders and think about ways to help them succeed. If they have children, what can you do to help when they go to a gathering? What are ways that you can help support and help them think through ways that they can successfully complete a cohort? Because it matters so much. And then my second advice would be for people who are interested in applying for the cohort, especially this cohort, this Gen Z cohort. I want you to know that we need each other, right? We need you and you need us, right? Together, we can work to fulfill our collective calling of unfolding the kingdom of God in our communities for such a time as this. And I don't want to mince or make light of that. In this time, our inclinations as nonprofits, as leaders of color, as people working in spaces of marginality is to hunker down, is to isolate, is to minimize, is to cut down. But this is the time that we need each other more than ever. We have to stop shrinking up. And I'm speaking to myself too, because it's a lot. It's scary out there right now. We have to open up. We have to open our hands. We have to be able to connect with each other, collaborate with each other, hear each other, and carry one another for the sake of the long haul. And so if you don't think this cohort is for you, if you don't think, how many times I've heard from CCD leaders and young leaders that the idea of imposter syndrome, like, no, we absolutely need you in this movement. And just like we share with our community members, and we do at Ciudad Nueva, we need you to be part of the unfolding of the gospel in this community. We need you to be part of this because we suffer, we lack when you're not part of this. And so future CCDA leaders, future cohort members, like, we lack when you choose to hold yourself back. And so please consider joining this. I will be praying for you. I am rooting for you. And we need you and we need each other to keep this movement going. And this movement, ultimately, the foundation is to unfold the gospel, the kingdom of God in our communities. And so, yeah, I guess that's what I would say.
Biddle, what encouragement do you have for someone that's looking to join a cohort?
It's going to be even better than you think it is. And in that first, like Bethany referenced, imposter syndrome, in that first maybe 6 hours, it's going to seem maybe like everybody else is a better fit than you. It's going to seem a little bit awkward at first. It's going to seem like you don't exactly know how things are going to go. It's going to go great. It's going to be wonderful.
With that, applications close August 15, 2025. So make sure y'all get those applications turned in if it's something you're interested in. Like Bethany said, you are more important when we're together. So don't lose hope in that regard. How do you guys see CCD philosophy at work in your community?
Let's see. How do I see CCD philosophy at work in our community? I see it in everything that we do. Within CCD philosophy, there is like this undergirding assumption of asset-based community development, which is affirming, recognizing the gifts, skills, and resources the people present and the location present, and working towards solutions from that asset-based perspective. I would also say the CCD philosophy affirms the image of God in every person, and even within that image, the ability and capacity to collectively lead us towards shalom, towards liberation, towards thriving. And at Ciudad Nueva, the organization that I work with, I see that in everything that we do. I see it in our community leaders. I see it in our community leader staff members, but then also volunteers who work towards connecting their communities with resources. I see it in the leadership development of our youth. I see it in the spirit of joy that's threaded throughout in a time that's very, very heavy and uncertain. But yes, I think CCD philosophy very much informs the work that we do at Ciudad Nueva.
I've really enjoyed, especially this summer, getting to watch young leaders step up. We had many young leaders from our community take a group of students to a summer camp, and we have been doing baptisms ever since. And watching young leaders take their own experience and minister to others. Coach Gordon loves to say, you really want to see change in your community, make friends with middle schoolers and support them on their journey. And their experience will inform you and them what needs to transform next. And I've just been getting to watch that happen as young leaders step up to lead worship at church, to mentor people who are younger than them, to really guide all of us in what our community needs to see next. And there's a reason they sometimes call the kingdom of God the upside down kingdom. You know, Bethany, you talked about there being leaders that don't let go. Seeing people who are emerging as leaders lead all of us has been just an incredible blessing that CCD gives us a framework for why it is possible, necessary, and important.
Wow, that was amazing answers by both of y'all. Answering that question, we conclude the podcast. Thank you for listening to CCDA Podcast, and thank you, Bethany and Jeff, for joining us. If you want to learn more about CCDA and Cohort 9, check out the show notes of this episode. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This episode is produced by Sarah Collin in association with Christina Ford. We will be back soon with another episode featuring CCD practitioners who are committed to seeing people in communities experience God's shalom. We'll see you then.